I want you to get your Bibles out, if you will, please, and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Ecclesiastes 10, of course, the lesson tonight is again on the subject of money. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Find verse number 16, if you will. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Verse number 16, and would you stand with me, please? We're going to read four or five verses. I'm going to read them to you, and you can follow along. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I'm going to start with verse number 16, and the Bible says this, "Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy prince eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is a son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things." The last four or five words there in verse 19, it helps us with tonight's title. I want to talk to you tonight about this. I want to talk to you about how money talks. How money talks. That verse said, "But money answereth all things." Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, bless the lesson. Help us to learn from it. Help us be better because of it. Thank you that you teach us about the importance of our money and how to handle it. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would take the lesson and help us to learn, help us to be better because of our time together. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. That scripture is kind of odd. It said, "Money answereth all things." I love the wording of the Bible. It says, "Money answers." So, money talks. Money, in this passage of Scripture, is being personified. In other words, it's as if money is being made into a person, or it's being given a personality. In the book of Proverbs, that happens with wisdom. And God refers to wisdom, and wisdom is personified, or it's given a personality, if you will. And so, money talks. I was reading somewhere, and I happened onto an article in the New York Times, and it was written July 7 of 2015, and I glanced through the article real quick, but one thing it said, it was called, "Your Spending Choices Reflect Your Values." Your spending choices reflect your values. And I was very interested in that, and that is true. Money says something. Money says something about us. Money says something about our country. You want to know what shape our country's in? Find out what we spend our money on. It'll tell you. Look at the amount of money that's spent on bad things. Look at the amount of money that's spent on good things. It'll tell you what shape our country's in. I got to thinking about this. I'm sure that you've heard of the thing called a time capsule. They've become a little more popular, and they're different sizes, but I actually looked one up today, and they make them out of stainless steel, and the one I looked at was a cylinder. And the whole purpose for this time capsule was that you would take things that are valuable to you and you put them in this time capsule and you seal it up and you bury it or do whatever you want. And 100 years from now, somebody opens that and then they could glance at what was important to you. You wanted something to be passed on, if you will, preserved for the future. And I thought about this. I got a little tickled when I was thinking this. I thought, well, I wonder what would happen if I gave everybody here a time capsule and I told you to put a year's worth of your credit card bills in that time capsule or the receipts for everything that you buy in a year. And we seal it up. And 100 years from now, somebody opens it and they're going to try to figure out, based on the bills, based on the receipts, what is important or what was important to you. What would they find? 100 years from now, if they look back at how you spend your money, what would they say was important to you? Would they see Starbucks, 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 Starbucks? Would they say McDonald's? No. Wouldn't they see cell phone and cell phone expenses all over it? You do understand when we spend our money, we spend it on things that are important to us. In 100 years, are they going to look back at this generation of people and say, what were they thinking? I wonder. Now, and what I'm telling you is in 100 years, what we spent our money on will speak for us. The Bible says here in Ecclesiastes 10:19, it says, but money answereth all things. It means that money can tell a story. Does money have a mouth? I don't know. But money can tell on you. Money can tell on your good. Money can tell on your bad. Money might be a tattletale. Money tells us. Money tells us what you're thinking. Money can tell us what you are seeking after. Money tells us what's important to you. Your money, your spending habits speak of what you are and who you are. Your money can tell us a story. Your money, we ought to give it the microphone and let it tell us what you are. Listen to this verse. I am so pleased that I stumbled onto this verse. Exodus 21:21 says this, notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. For he is his money. Have you heard that old saying, you are what you eat? You are how you spend. Your money is a reflection of what you are. You are what your money habits are. And money is a wonderful mirror of what's going on in your head and how you think and how you conduct yourself. You say, well, preacher, I don't think the way I spend my money is indicative of what I am. Then maybe you ought to change how you handle your money, because you sure are. Can I tell you? The bank would argue with you. You go to the bank and try to get a loan, they're going to look at how you handle your money to decide what you are, to determine whether they're going to trust you to borrow money. That's how they do it. You understand, you go and apply for a loan, they check your credit. What is that? Your spending and your money handling and practices. Now, stay with me. As usual, this thing gets simpler, not more complicated. I call tonight's lesson, How Money Talks. For instance, money talks about your love for God. Money talks about your love for God. Listen to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24. It says this, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon would be a biblical term for money. So here he is comparing God and money, and if you listen to the entire verse, that's what he was trying to get across. You see, here it teaches us that the way you handle your money tells us something about your love for God. If you love money, you probably don't love God. Notice it also says, if you serve money, you will not properly serve God. And what am I telling you? Your money, how you handle your money, talks of your love or lack of love for God. You say, well, I don't think anybody ought to judge me on that basis. Well, I'm not. God is. Take it up with Him. You can look at Him and say, well, I think you're wrong. Talk to Him all night about it. But He's the Lord, and He does not change. He wrote it in the Scripture, so He must have meant it. Let me read the verse to you again. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The whole concept here is that someone loves money more than they love God. He said, you can't do that. You have to pick which one you love. Your money, then, testifies to us and to God regarding your love for God. So, money talks. But not only that, I think money talks of our attitude, our attitudes of life. Money and the way we handle our money and our opinions about money, it has something to do with our attitudes. I'm going to read to you from Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. The Bible says this, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now let me explain. This verse has much to do with our attitudes. Covetousness is an attitude. You understand? When you're coveting, you're developing an attitude about wanting something. Your passions, your desires. So, covetousness is an attitude. Did you know it says here, let your conversation be without covetousness. That's attitude. And then it says, and be content with such things as you have. Did you know contentment is an attitude? And he's saying what you need to do is not be chasing things, but become content. He said, and I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what he's telling you? You ought to want me. Put me at the top of the totem pole of your desires and your passions and even your lusts. Put God at the top. But in this passage of Scripture, he's talking about covetousness, our chasing after things, and that is predominantly, you possess those things with money, and covetousness is an attitude, contentment is an attitude, and your money tells us something about your attitude. Money speaks, and it says on the outside what's going on the inside. The way we spend our money is a revealer of our attitudes. There's somebody in here, you've got a sinful attitude about some things, and we will probably find the receipt in your trash can for you buying something that is sinful. Because your money will be an outward expression of an inward attitude. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And might I say, out of the abundance of a bad attitude, the checkbook writes checks. The credit card flies. So, I think money talks. I think it talks about our love or lack of love for God. I think money talks. I think money talks about our attitude. Then, I think money talks. I think money talks about our organizational skills. I think it talks about our organizational skills. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 14, verse number 28. The Bible says this, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Now, this verse is talking about they want something, and if they have any sense, they're going to figure out what it costs, so that they can figure out if they've got enough money to start the project and finish the project. Now, what is that? That is organizing your spending. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Your money tells us something about your organizational skills. I've counseled thousands of people about their finances, literally. Most of the time, one of the biggest problems that people have financially is they are not financially organized. And you've heard me say this, and I'll say it again, and I'll hammer it anytime I teach on this. You want to be organized with your money? You need to know how much is coming in and how much is going out. And if you have more going out than is coming in, something's broken. You say, yeah, I need more money. Well, it might be you need to spend less. You say, well, I'm going to get more money. Then you need to spend less until you get more money. It does not work out when there is more going out than what's coming in. You say, well, Pastor, I already know that. But I'm here to tell you then it's got to stop. What is it? That's poor organization. Simple organization. Most people that struggle financially, you'll find that they do not follow a budget. What is a budget? Organization. It is their money comes in. I allocate percentages of that money toward that has to go out. And remember, I can't send more out than came in, so my budget has to match the income, not the desirous outgo. That's called simple country boy logic or organization. And your money talks about your organization or your lack thereof. Money talks and tells us we're unorganized. Let me give you a little something that would help some of you. You say, Pastor, I get this money and I can't figure out where it all goes. Here's what you do. Write down every penny that you spend. And on what? You know what we'll do? We'll find out where it all goes. Not hard. Then we'll stick it in my time capsule. We'll shoot it 100 years in. And we'll let somebody take a look at it. They'll go, whoa, I can't believe what they were spending money on. And I'll tell you all something. I've got a feeling when we get older, we're going to look back and say, I can't believe what I was spending my money on. I had to have fancy rims on my 1970 Nova. Kregers. Y'all familiar with Kregers? I had to have them. It was important. As a 58-year-old man, I look back and say, I would give anything to have all the money back that I spent on my cars when I was between the age of 16 and 21. Time capsule. Sent forward, looking back, saying, what an idiot I was. Now, money talks. It tells us something. Let me go on. Money talks about your character. Money talks about your character. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture. It's from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. This is in reference to a church leader, or in this case, a deacon. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 3, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, not striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. In the Bible then again almost gives you the exact wording for a deacon in the church. God here is describing the characteristics of a church leader, not being covetous. What does that mean? He shows control over his wants. Now remember, there's a difference in your wants and your needs. Need means it's what you must have to stay alive. That's water. Wants are $5 cups of coffee. And I'm not on a rampage against coffee. I'm for it. But I do have a problem with you paying $5 for a cup of coffee, then you pay all your bills late, and you can't figure out why your landlord's not merciful. They've probably seen you down at Starbucks. In this passage of Scripture, it's talking about a leader being in control of their desires. They're controlling their spending. Do you know how you control your spending with your personal character? You've set up expectations upon yourself. You require things of yourself. Folks, you can't just let yourself run wild. You're to keep yourself in check. Now, here's what we do. When our children are little, parents control the children. But when you grew up, you were to be your own parent. Now you are to control you. So when our kids are growing up, we're teaching them how to control themselves by our controlling them. But there comes a point when we step back and we say, now you go do for yourself what I have been doing for you. You, as an adult, are to parent yourself. And some of the problems with your finances are you do not parent yourself. See, this is what would happen. You would go to Walmart as a child and you'd see a toy and you would say, Dad, I want that. Dad would say, let me see how much money you have. And you'd hold it up there and Dad would say, you don't have enough. You can't have the toy. But here's your problem. You're an adult now. You say, I want that. You look down and say, well, I'm not sure I have enough, but I'm buying it anyway. I don't care what it costs. You know what? You didn't parent yourself. All you had to do was think back to when mom said, you don't have enough, you can't have it. And you say, I can't have it, I don't have enough. But people don't do that. Why? America, there is a dearth of character. We don't want to boss ourselves around. We don't want to say no to ourselves. If I want it, I want it. By the way, it's affecting us. It's affecting us socially. It's affecting us morally. America says, I want it, I want it, I want it. It's called lust, it's passion. We go after anything we want, no matter what it costs us. That's wrong. We are to restrain ourselves. In 1 Timothy 3:8, it talks about not being guilty of greed. Funny. Listen to this. Your money practices are a character thermometer. Most money problems are character problems. Character includes things like self-control, honesty, organization, promptness, hard work. I love this statement. My dad didn't make this up, but I heard him say it over and over again. The harder I work, the luckier I get. For a little while, I didn't understand it. I thought, well, I'm going to work harder. If luck's coming my way, you know something? Every time I'd work harder, I'd get a little more money. I thought, this is my lucky day. And I figured it out. The harder you work, the more you get rewarded for work. That's not luck. That's a principle that's in the Bible. Now listen, money speaks of our personal character. People of character will pay their bills on time. People of character, they are going to be careful how they handle their money. And so, I think, in this passage of Scripture, it says, but money answereth all things. Money speaks in regard to our love for God, or lack thereof. Money speaks about our attitudes, because what we spend on is coming out of the abundance of what we're thinking on.